Hello, and welcome to the 11th episode of Pence's Game Shack. Yes, I had to stop and think there because I was thinking of the G-Arcade Twitchcast, which it isn't. As you can probably hear from the laughter, the person with me today is a returning gentleman named Cumberdanes.
Howdy.
For those who are unfamiliar with the format, we tend to do three sections, which is currently playing, where we talk about what we've been playing, news, but we aren't talking about any news today because I haven't been keeping my eye on the news, so I don't know of anything specific to talk about, which is my fault. And then we're going to talk about a game that we've played together, and that section is called We Play Together. So we'll start with currently playing, and I would like to know, Cumberdanes. Actually, before we start with that, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. Can't really complain.
Yeah.
Pretty tired, like always.
That's fair enough.
Nothing new.
That's fair enough, man. Just thought I'd ask how you are. So, what have you been playing, dude?
What have I been playing lately? Quite a bit, because I'm torn between a few things at the minute. Mostly Castlevania stuff. I got done with Harmony of Dissonance quite recently. Got all the endings in that, so it was quite fun. It's not the best of the Castlevania kind of Metroidvania type games, that I wouldn't say. It's not bad, but it gets a bit repetitive. It's very very boss heavy after a certain point.
Right.
Like, have you played it before?
I was streaming it not that long ago, but I kind of like dropped off.
There's a bit of a plot part way through, and right after that it gets very very boss heavy for a good while,
right?
And it's like every room you go into is a boss. It kind of makes sense in the context of the game,
right?
But it gets a bit annoying.
Yeah, I bet.
When you just want a break to kind of go off and explore, and it's just boss, and the bosses are a bit lazy. It's all like right. Bigger versions of regular enemies for a good part of it.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
They'll be like the giant merman, the giant peeping eye. There's a few just bigger versions of normal dudes, and you're like, that's a bit shite.
Is there a giant?
No, there is a giant in it, I think. Oh no, that's what I'm playing now. Aria, because when I got done with that, I started Aria. But that does have a giant in it, Baelor.
Right.
I
can't remember. I haven't played it for a
while. What I remember about that is if memory serves, is a cool cutscene. Because you think you're going to fight the giant bat, like the old first boss from Castlevania 1.
Ah, yeah.
In, and then Baelor grabs it and just splats it in his hand.
Yeah, now I remember.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I remember that.
I am playing Aria at the minute. Not sure how far through I am. I don't know if Aria has two castles or not. I'm kind of hoping it doesn't. Because I'm getting a bit sick of trying to get all the enemy souls. It's doing my head in.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I play through Aria of Sorrow, I really enjoy my time with it, but I did not go out of my way to get all the souls. My concern was getting the souls I needed for the proper ending, as in the final best ending, and that was it. So I got the three souls I needed for that, and then I was like, yeah, that'll do. But also I did it without the three souls, so I could get the Julius mod, I think?
Because in Harmony of Dissonance, there's three different endings, depending on how you defeat this guy called Maxim. He's like your mate from the start of the game, who's like not quite acting himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit like how in Symphony of the Night, where you've got to battle Richter with a certain item equipped, and you see like this thing in the sky controlling him.
Yeah. Shaft.
It's a bit like that. It's very, very similar to that, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've got to fight him with like two certain items equipped, and then like some stuff happens, and the shenanigans ensue. But yeah, getting all the souls is getting a bit tedious in Aria, because like I'm in a new area where I killed Death, and I've got quite a large section of the map where there's loads of new enemies.
Yeah.
And I haven't got any of their souls yet. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck's sake, it's going to take me ages getting all them. The only kind of upshot is I'm I feel very overpowered in it. Like, so far, I don't think I've actually died to a boss.
That's cool.
Which is unusual.
One thing I will say, though, is, Dominic, you don't have to get all the souls. I know you want to, but you don't have to. You can just move on with the game.
Gotta do it all, man.
You don't have to.
They've put it in there. I've got to do it. It's rude not to.
That's fair enough.
What else have I been playing lately? I did that Xbox 360 Conan game recently.
Yeah, you did say about that. I think your words were, I'm really enjoying this. And then the next time I spoke to you, I was really enjoying it. And then the final boss was shite and it ruined the entire experience. Is that correct?
Yeah, the end boss is just awful. The rest of the game is fine. It's just a very straightforward God of War clone. Like, there's not really a lot you can say about it. It's a very shameless God of War clone.
Yeah.
But just the final boss, if it didn't have checkpoints in, I would have quit.
That doesn't sound like a great thing. Is it based on like the Conan film or something, or is it just...
Nah, it's got nothing to do with the film. It's like a totally like, independent story. It actually got a bit of flack from Conan fans because he uses magic a lot in it. And apparently Conan never uses magic. He's like totally anti-magic in the books and the comics and stuff. So the fact that he collects magic armor throughout the game, it's a bit of like a slap in the face to Conan fans.
It's only, well, to be fair, Conan does walk around with just a pair of pants on and boots.
But I suppose you've got to have like some sort of special attacks in a game, or it's just going to be get a bit boring, just like chop, chop, chop with your sword all the time. You've got to have some kind of special abilities, surely.
Yeah, it makes sense that they give them, he was given some sort of abilities, because I think if you just slash him with a sword with nothing else at all, other than maybe a slightly different combo, I think it would get...
It's weird because you've kind of got no permanent weapons in it. You've got different combat styles. You can have like you can dual wield, you can have a sword and shield, or like a double-handed weapon, and like each have their own like combo tree, and that you gain experience and you can like spend your experience points on unlocking new combos, but you quickly find certain combos are just really overpowered. And you just stick with the really overpowered combos. There's one called the Warrior Suplex, I think, where like you just like, I think it's when you've got just a sword, you press like square Y or something, and he punches them a couple of times, and then does a throwaway, drops them on the head, and kills most enemies instantly.
Oh, nice! Makes life easier then.
You just kind of spam that for the most part. It's got quite good voice acting in it. The two main characters as well. Conan's voiced by Ron Perlman.
Yeah, cool.
And then, like, you've got this, like, pirate lady that, like, you're sailing a ship with, who's voiced by Claudia Black.
Oh, right, nice.
And, of course, there's a cutscene where she's like, you know, we've got some time to kill before the next mission, you know? and the bump uglies on the boat.
They do the horizontal shuffle.
Because, of course, it's got to walk along, so there's bound to be, like, some sexy time.
Gotta be sexy time.
Like, every level, you've got, like, you can rescue these, like, naked ladies tied up to trees. so juvenile.
Yeah. Well, God of War does the same, doesn't it? Like, I recently played through God of War and God of War 2, and, like, the very first game after you kill people, I think, on the ships, after you kill the Hydra, like, the very first thing you do next is you're in bed with two women. Like, because I was streaming, I thought, I don't know exactly what's going to happen here. I'll just leave it. But in God of War 2, there was some women there. And I was like, I'll just do it anyway. For the because you said in the first game, you get loads of red orbs. Yeah. So I thought maybe I'd get a lot of red orbs in the second game. So that's why I did it.
Yeah, because the second game has, like, anything. It has the fountain with the little boy pissing. That was quite funny.
Yeah. With Conan, was there ever a follow-up to it, or was it just a one-off?
It was just a one-off. There is, because they did that Conan Exiles game years later, but that was, like, totally, like, unrelated. That was one of those, like, open-world survival games.
Yeah.
Which I've tried playing a couple of times, and I die. It pretty much the first time I encounter any of the enemies, I just die. I was like, nah, fuck it. But I do have the platinum trophy in it, though.
Ah, right. Even though you die on the first enemy.
No. Well, yeah, they forgot to remove the command line prompt from the console version.
Nice.
So you can go into like administrator mode, set up your own server, and just like, turn like loads of cheats on, like God mode, and like spawn loads of good gear and stuff. And you can for a game that's probably meant to take you several many hours to play, you can actually get the platinum trophy in about 45 minutes.
That's cool.
By cheating. I didn't pay for it. It was on PS Plus.
Ah, right.
It was kind of doing the rounds of like, oh, yeah, the latest games on PS Plus, one of them is a really easy trophy list. That's the only reason I've played it, really.
I haven't played it. And I probably won't. I don't really like survival games.
It kind of feels like it might be fun to play it properly. I have seen someone stream it, playing it properly with a group of people.
Yeah.
And I think with a group, it actually looks pretty good. But the only problem is like you'd have to have it on like private servers, because I wouldn't want people just turning up and wrecking your shit.
No, that would be right. But like I was saying, I don't really like survival games in general. Even like Fallout 76, when we were playing that, used to piss me off that it was like, oh, you need to eat now, you need to drink now. And I'm like, from the sounds of it, you don't need to worry about it anymore, but it would just annoy me. And yeah, I was like, I don't care. Fuck off. I wanted to play games where I eat and drink. I just wouldn't play games and I would just eat and drink.
And I've been playing, well, I did... June, October, I finished Costume Quest 2 on stream. That was a lot of fun.
How does it hold up against the first one?
It's better in general, but like the ending falls a bit flat. It just sort of stops.
Yeah.
Because like there's a whole lot of like wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff in it. It's all about time travel.
Yeah.
And like you kind of go back to what you think is going to be your version of the present day, and there's a few little things have changed, like the. There's this weird monster treaty being signed with the race of monsters that are kind of the villains. And like they're allowed to visit Earth once a year on Halloween so they can have candy, because candy doesn't exist in the monster realm.
All right.
And like, then the credits sort of play, and you sort of left in the starting map from the game. Like it doesn't really like go back to the title screen or anything. It just sort of ends, and you just sort of stuck in the little cul-de-sac from the start of the game. It's like, well, really, is that it? And you're kind of convinced that there's going to be something more. You're sort of like, is this it? Is there like one final mission that I'm missing? And it turns out, no, there is no final mission that you're missing. That is it.
Did you look it up just in case?
Yeah. I was going to end my stream, and I was like, well, do I end the stream? And then like realize later that there is one final mission. But then no, there was no final mission. That's it. That's just the end.
Odd.
I've been playing Doom 3. I'm getting a bit bored of the jump scares in Doom 3.
There's jump scares in it. I have only played it a little bit, Doom 3.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's like more of a horror game than most Doom games. It's like it's all dark and there's things jumping out from like around the corner and stuff. Monsters like jumping out from behind you, giving you a fright. It's kind of tiresome now.
From the little I've played of it myself and from what I've seen of you playing it, it does seem more of like a slow-paced... horror-like game than Doom. It's very well made.
It's a very polished game. It still looks really good. I mean, I think it's nearly a 20-year-old game now, and it still looks really fucking good.
Yeah,
definitely very polished. Yeah, there's a lot of enemies spawning in behind you, which always winds me up. Dead Space 2 does it quite a lot. And then there's a lot of enemies where it's really hard to avoid eating a hit. Like any of the human soldier or zombie soldier enemies, if one of them spots you, you're gonna eat a hit. You can't just dodge all their shots. It's almost impossible. Even if you see them first and you get the first shot off, you won't kill them. They'll hit you as well.
That sucks.
But on that front, though, it is generally quite generous with the health.
Right.
There are a lot of health pickups. There has been some cool bits in it where you've got like choices of how to do certain scenarios. Like there's a bit quite early on where you find this bloke trapped in some testing chamber,
okay.
And you've got a choice to either free him or just let the machine run its course and kill him.
What did you do?
Just to see what happened, I made a separate save and I killed him the first time. If you do that, there's like a trophy for killing him.
Ah, nice.
But then I loaded the save up because I knew from playing it years ago that if you save him, he then goes to his little office And in his office, you find like there's all these little data pads that you find lying around, like logbook things, and, like, you know how like horror games are, where it's like someone's diary.
Yeah.
Today I did this, blah blah blah. The bloody workers are pissing us off, all that sort of shit. When you find a data pad that has like a locker code in it from much much later in the game, which has the BFG in it.
Ah.
And I'm not sure if without that code, you can't get the BFG. I mean, to be honest, I'm using a list of codes on my phone just to make sure I open every locker when I find them, because there was one very early in the game that I missed, I think. I couldn't find the terminal to use the code anywhere. So I've just been like, just using a guide for it. Not for the game, but just for the locker codes, just to make sure I don't miss any.
Yeah, that's fair enough. May as well use them, like you've played through the game before, so it's not like you're missing out in any way, shape, or form. And it's
I've never finished it.
Ah, right.
In fact, okay. I don't think I ever made it to the first boss when I first played it.
Yeah. that's fair enough.
I've kind of done the second boss now, because the first boss is like a big spider thing. It's a bit like Quelaag from Dark Souls.
All right,
like,
yeah,
it's
I
like
know.
It's a spider with a woman's body. And then the second boss, it isn't really a boss. It's like, you know, there's an enemy in Doom called the Mancubus. It's like a big fat dude with like two big guns for arms.
Yeah.
It's just four of them, or three or four of them in a room.
Hmm. That's a bit... shit.
Yeah, I think it starts having like the proper bosses later on. Like, I'm pretty sure there's like a Baron of Hell in it and such, and like a cyber demon, all that kind of jazz.
Nice. And to be fair, this should be too. It's Doom.
Yeah, cacodemons crop up quite quickly in the game, which I was surprised at.
Yeah.
Normally you don't see that until a bit later. There's been none of those pain elementals yet. Now the dude to like it's like a cacodemon, but they fire lost souls at you.
Ah, right. I know. Yeah.
Hasn't been any of them. There's been revenants, the kind of flying rocket launcher skeleton guys.
Yeah,
there's been some of those. There's no archviles, thankfully, because I bloody hate archviles. Cheating little bastards, reviving all the dead people.
Yeah, how dare they?
Exactly. It's not fair at all.
A lot of games like that where we've played a few co-op games, haven't we? Where we've been playing them. And then it's like we've killed most people, and then all of a sudden, an enemy will revive them all, and it's like Gears even gore.
Yeah, it's been happening in Gears, isn't it? With like, what they're called,
twats.
Twats. I'm sure they've got a proper name, but yeah, twats. Yeah, and then like Outriders had that as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Where you're like, you have all, like, you'd almost kill everyone, and the boss would just heal everybody back to full health, and you'd be like, no! Like, I've been doing this fucking gunfight for an hour. I just want to move on. There's so many more areas to clear.
They really should have called that game, as you said, Area Clearers, not Outriders.
Yep, just out of the box, Area Clearers. Your objective, clear the area.
90% of the objectives were clear the area, 5% was clear the room, and the other 5 was like get to the area. Yeah, and the other 5 was defend the area. That's what it was.
Just do various things in various areas. Sounds a bit naughty, that. I'm kind of in a bit of a... I'm kind of in a bit of a funk with games at the minute. I'm finding it hard to focus on them. I go through phases like that.
Yeah, I'm sometimes like that, and then I just sit down and watch TV stuff, like Netflix or something, or an anime, for about a few weeks, and then I'll get back to the games then.
And then I'm really easily led. I keep buying more games, because I'll see somebody playing something on stream, and I'm like, ooh, I fancy playing that.
Well,
like watching Ashaware play the DMC... Like the one by Ninja Theory.
Oh yeah, DMC, yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, that was a fun game. Then I was like, you know what else is really fun? Enslaved.
Oh.
So I bought Enslaved on the Xbox 360, on the Xbox store.
Nice.
Because I got like some credit, store credit for my birthday. So I bought that, and then because I've been kind of thinking about playing the Far Cry series from the start, I bought Far Cry Classic on the Xbox store as well.
Sweet.
And then, because I've seen a few people playing Bayonetta 3, I'm like, oh, I really should go back and finish Bayonetta. I got about, I think, a third of the way through it back in the day and just gave up on it because it was too hard. And I'm like, oh, I should really go back and try and finish Bayonetta. So I bought Bayonetta on the PS4 store, and I'm like, I just keep buying games. I'm like, I need to play the ones that I've got.
I know what it's like, man. I've bought a fair few games. I know exactly what games I've bought this year in the sense of if I look at a list on G Arcade, because I've been every year for the last however many years, I've gone into the thread called Bought, Played, Completed thread. And about a third of the way through the year, I end up just going, can't be arsed anymore. This year, I actually stuck with it. So I've actually written down what I have what I've played and what I've finished.
Yeah.
And like my finished games, this is actually for me very good. I've actually finished over 50 games this year. And that is not nice. Like me at all. Normally it's like 5 or 6 games completed, 90 games played a little. Well, this year I've actually
A log of what I've beaten, but not what I've bought. I mean, this year, let's see, how many games have I finished this year? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34.
Nice.
And yeah, some of those are like dumb stuff like my name is Mayo 2, my name is Mayo 3.
Yeah, I think my name is Mayo is on my list as well, the first one.
Rain on your prayer, which is actually a lot of fun, but very, very short.
Oh, was that on Game Pass and you're a cloud or something?
Yeah.
I never played it. I meant to play it and I never got around to it. And I don't think it's on Game Pass anymore.
No, I think it left not long after I played through it, if memory serves. It's a fun little game. I played that right after Donut County.
Oh, I thought Donut it
quite sort of similar, where you just being an annoying little dick.
And was it?
Kind of, just not as good.
Yeah, I really like Donut County.
Yeah, Donut County was a lot of fun. Yeah. I think my review of it was it's like Katamari Damacy, but you play a little dickhead raccoon.
Can't really fault that description.
Yeah, and then you got like stuff like bloody Peppa Pig.
Oh, you loved it.
Bloody Paw Patrol on a roll. Fucking hell, that's a bad game.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about the Paw Patrol games that came out after Paw Patrol on a roll is they are actually better than Paw Patrol on a roll. That's not to say they are good games. They're just better.
I just want that stupid little kid to shut up.
Yeah, I don't think he's annoying in the game.
To move forward.
Don't get me started on Ryder.
Like, if you stand still for like more than a couple of seconds, he's like, move the left stick to move forward. Press the A button to jump.
And also, every there's 100 dog pup treats or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
To collect
the
dog
treats.
And let's get the pup treats and get a reward at the end. It's like,
but you don't actually even get a reward. That's the thing. You don't get anything for them.
It's just crap, man.
I'm gonna strangle him. I mean, to be fair, it's a kid's game, but I think even for a kid's game, it's an insulting kid's game.
Yeah, I actually did a review for that game and the next Paw Patrol game. I played the third Paw Patrol game and was going to do a review for that, but I just never got around to it. So I might play it again and then review it. But one of the things I said there is even for a young children's game, it seems to think that the children are idiots and has no respect for them at all.
Yeah, but like there's good like kind of children's games. I mean, it's like off the top of my head, like going on the NES, you've got something like Felix the Cat on the NES.
Yeah,
like that's like a really easy platform game, but it's a really well made easy platform game. It's like it doesn't insult the player.
Yeah, like I
something like that.
I did mention Kirby, a few games at the time, game. Like you know, but yeah, Kirby.
Kirby games are traditionally very easy, very easy to beat, but then quite tough to do everything in them. Like yeah. Kirby's Adventure on the NES, when you beat it, you unlock like hard mode where you don't get any health upgrades, and I think it's permadeath as well.
Oh, nice!
It's like when you get game over, there's just like there's no continues. You got to start from the beginning. I think there's definitely no health upgrades. I'm pretty sure it's like it's permadeath.
I can't remember myself.
I don't play that mode. I've only beaten like the regular mode.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I've done. Then again, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I played a Kirby game. An older Kirby game. I've got the newest Kirby game. I just haven't played it because I've got too many games to play. I picked up another four games today as well.
When did I play Kirby? I played Kirby's Dream Land and Kirby's Adventure maybe last year or the year before. Yeah, it was in 2021.
Oh, I played the one of them on Switch. I played through with the missus. Superstar.
Yeah, well, I played the NES one, Kirby's Adventure, on Switch. And then I played Kirby's Dream Land on the Game Boy. Well, not on the Game Boy. It was on my laptop, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
On my totally legitimate Game Boy that I definitely own.
Yeah, I own a few Game Boys. I just don't know where they are. I know where they are. They're in the attic.
And then not buying games, but watching you play in Fable recently. It's got me kind of fancying playing Fable again because I've never finished it.
I've never finished Fable.
No, but I've reinstalled Fable. I'm like, when am I going to find time to play Fable, man? And then when I'm done with Doom 3, I've got to go back to Rogue Galaxy, and I haven't played it in like over a month, and I can't remember what the fuck's happening.
You were beating people up.
I'm like 20, 30 hours into working at the huge bloody JRPG. Haven't played it in about a month, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on in that game?
Sure, you could do. The good thing is because you stream. I don't know if you upload your VODs, you could have checked. You could have checked like the last 30 minutes of your VOD just to catch you up.
I mean, it does give you like a bit of a previously on X-Men kind of thing when you start playing, so there is that.
Last time on Dragon Ball Z.
I think what I was the last bit I was doing, and it involved like a mine. There was some kind of weird town where there's trains just going around the town.
Yeah.
And you can get run over by them. And then you go down a coal mine for some reason. That's the last thing I remember. And there's a big optional boss fight down there, which I haven't touched yet because I'll probably kick my ass.
Ah, right. Yeah, there's just too many games. Like I said, I picked up like four games earlier. I also got the new Pokemon, but I don't want to start that until after I play and finish Fable.
Yeah, I want to buy that, and I can't afford it at the minute. I have to wait till like a paid at the very least. And I want God of War Ragnarok as well. I wasn't going to get Ragnarok because I thought it was a PS5 exclusive.
And no,
someone on Twitch was like, no, it's on PS4. And I'm like, oh, don't tell me that. Because now I'm going to buy it.
Nah, I think they were lying, man. It's not actually on PS4.
It's not?
No.
That's what it is then. Yeah. To be fair, I do love God of War. So like, I will enjoy it. That's the kind of game that I will just not get distracted with that.
Yeah,
I'll sit and play through that, and I'll can it, same as I did with the first one.
Yeah,
that's the first one. You know what I mean.
The 2018
the
one.
The other one, yeah.
Well,
like I just plowed through that and got the platinum for it quite quickly, actually.
With God of War, I actually only played God of War: Chains of Olympus back years ago when it came out on the PSP, I think. And then like God of War 1 and 2, I recently played for the first time. And finished them recently, and they're really good games, and I'm looking forward to cracking on with the series. But like, I've blocked Ragnarok, hashtag Ragnarok, hashtag God of War, because I don't want any spoilers,
I ended up unfollowing someone. It's not even their fault. There was like someone I followed for a while on Twitch. There's like an Aussie streamer called Since Spaces,
right?
As in they're on Twitter as well. Like as in I've been gaming since Spaces, like Space Invaders. And they were doing a stream of The Last of Us 1.
Yeah.
And someone came into their chat and just did like a huge tirade of Last of Us 2 spoilers before the mods could stop them.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh mate. I didn't need to know all of that.
I still haven't played Last of Us Part 2. I need to get around to it. I've had it since launch.
Just because of one massive spoiler, it's just put me off playing it. I mean, the trailer almost spoils it, kind of. If you're paying attention.
I watched a little bit of the initial reveals, and then I hadn't watched anything since, because I tend to like go dark on things. I don't know why I'm going around to Last of Us Part 2. I think it's just too many games for me to play between the games I had to buy and Game Pass and PlayStation Plus. and Humble Bundle on the PC. I've got no time for everything.
It took me forever to get around to playing Bioshock, because I started playing it on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And right as I was playing it, it was in a totally unrelated YouTube video. I think it might have been in Stuart Ashen's video.
Yeah.
Where he just does a huge Bioshock spoiler. Well, two massive Bioshock spoilers. And I was like, oh, you bastard.
Yeah, I remember you saying about it, and I think you said it was like totally unrelated to the video.
Yeah, it was just a random off the cuff thing right near the end of the video. He suddenly does this like huge Bioshock spoiler. I'm like, what? And then eventually I got around to playing it on the PS3 many years later and really enjoyed it. Something similar happened with Batman Arkham Asylum. I got given a big plot spoiler in that. It's actually something you can work out for yourself if you're paying attention to the game. If you use detective vision quite a bit. Have you played the Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, I've played Asylum. I finished Asylum City and Night, but I've not finished Origin or whatever it's called.
Apologies to anyone that hasn't played it, but I'm going to give out the spoiler that I had.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bit where the Joker... Is it the Joker? Someone's in a prison cell. It might be like the warden or something, and then it turns out much later in the game it was Clayface all along.
Oh, nice.
And then there's like this whole shenanigans and like it gets revealed. I'm sure it's the Joker. The Joker's locked up, and you think you've locked him up, and then it turns out it was just Clayface pretending to be the Joker. But apparently, if you use a detective vision at the right moment, you can see that he has no skeleton.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that would give it away that it was Clayface the whole time. So it's kind of hiding in plain sight if you're paying attention. A bit like most of the plot. I didn't notice this till recently. I've noticed one thing. But if you play Heavy Rain, if you've beaten Heavy Rain before and then play it again, you see loads of little things, and you're like, how did I not notice what was going on here? There's so many little clues.
I honestly played a little bit of Heavy Rain, and I did the Jason bit, and then I never played Jason. After that.
I loved Heavy Rain. I got right into it. If you laugh at it now, it's a bit of a meme of a game, but at the time, it was quite revolutionary.
Yeah, I remember people enjoying it back.
It reviewed really, really well, and now it's kind of a bit of a laughing boy. And it's like, how?
I don't know.
What's changed? Why is it suddenly like a sort of laughing stock rather?
I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. I've not played the game and not really read much on it.
I really, really enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, if you've beaten it once and know how the story pans out, when you replay it, you're like, how did I not notice this before? It's all there, like all the kind of clues. And like when they say like in Through the Keyhole, the clues are there.
Yeah.
It's like that. There's all this stuff just in plain sight. And you're like, how did I not see that? Hindsight, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like knowing what you know down the line. Because you aren't looking for it, that's the thing. When you first play it, you aren't looking for it for anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like foreshadowing and stuff, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I want to stream it, but it's all blocked. I need to get a capture card, really.
You do need to get a capture
card. I think almost from the get-go, it's mostly blocked scenes. I remember that really pissed me off when I'd been streaming Fist of the North Star, Lost Paradise. The whole game is fine. Then the final chapter, which is all plot twists, is blocked.
Yeah, you didn't end up streaming the end of it then because of that, did you? Did you finish it offline? No.
I tried narrating it, but there was just too many different characters. And I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to raid Jasmine or something. And then I finished it offline, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't blame me. Because you think, well, I've been playing this game for like 20, 25 hours or so on stream, and then it's come right down to just the last hour of the game, 30 minutes, an hour maybe. It's like, I can't play that last little bit. It sort of makes the rest of it a bit pointless.
Yeah. Fucking.
Although it did lead me to the very funny clip of when Kenshiro makes beef burgers. That's fucking hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. When he's using like the whole like Hokkaido and Shinken thing to just like pound this pile of beef. Well, going... And then all of a sudden, the pile of beef is just burgers.
As it should be.
And there's this bratty little kid who's like sick of like, I think his mum's died, and the butler can't make burgers the way his mum used to, and he wants burgers. So he makes Kenshiro go out into the wilds to find some fresh beef. Like, he's got nothing better to do with his time than go out into the wilderness to find some kind of fresh beef preserved somewhere because it's a fucking apocalypse. Then he comes back and turns it into burgers in a comedic fashion. Or the minigame where he's a bartender, that's really funny as well.
Yeah, when you're making cocktails and stuff.
Yeah, there's one of the cocktails is cut. It's instead of like, oh, no, it's like, what was it? Oh, my Wamu Shinderu, you're already dead. There's one of the cocktails that's called You're Already Drunk.
That's cracking. Bloody, I remember watching you playing a lot of that. It looked pretty cool. Like, and it's made by the Yakuza devs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much Yakuza, but Fist of the North Star. There's another really fun thing in that as well. You can like beat enemies to death with their own like death screams.
Yeah.
Like one enemy will go, ah! And it'll, like, the word ah kind of comes out of their mouth.
All right.
And lands on the floor. It's like an item you can pick up.
That's cool.
You can like pick it up and then batter somebody else with it.
That is really cool.
It's just fucking stupid.
I would like to play it, but the issue I have is this game just seems like it's going to be too long, man.
That's quite short for a Yakuza-type game, I would say.
Cause like, yeah.
Yakuza 0, I put like 90 hours into that, and I still didn't fully finish it. Like, I finished the story, but I didn't like 100% it or anything.
Yeah.
Whereas Lost Paradise is probably maybe like 25, 30 hours long. It's probably shorter, depending on how much side stuff you do. You could probably get it down to about 20 hours, I reckon.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not that long if you just want to kind of follow the story. It kind of helps if you know the story already, because it does quite a cool job of mixing like an original story in with the actual Hokuto no Ken storyline.
Oh, it's actually based on the original manga then. I thought it was like a different...
It's a bit of a mishmash. Like, it combines events from the actual manga and anime into an original story.
Yeah,
then
cool.
Again, there's a plot twist at the end, well, lots of them, where you kind of find out what's really going on. And the final chapter, it's mad. It's just like twist, 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 twist. It's like, oh wait, the villain was really this guy, and then like, oh wait, this is what was really happening the whole time. What?
See, I'd like to play through all the Yakuza games. I did start Zero, but I was playing that in another long RPG at the same time, and yeah. It just killed me. Like, but I never finished it, but there's like 7 or so Yakuza games. They're normal Yakuza 1 to like 0 to 6. Then you've got Like a Dragon, which is now what they're all going to be called, I think. Then you've got Judgment and Lost Judgment. Then you've got the zombie Yakuza game. Then you've got the one set in the past.
they're doing the one that's going to be like a sequel to Like a Dragon. Like, yeah, which would be like Yakuza 8, I guess. Then they're also doing another one where it's like what Kiryu was doing during Yakuza 7.
Yeah, it's just too much, man.
It is. I think it's a bit oversaturated, I think.
Yeah.
What I do really want to play is, I really want to try, I don't know if it's on the Xbox store, is Binary Domain.
Have I played that?
It's like a Gears of War clone by the Yakuza team. And I had this mate years ago who was always banging on about it.
Not sure if I played it. I think I played a little bit of it.
It was on the Xbox store. I might buy it. Depends how much it is. Let's have a look.
Probably quite cheap right now, because it's Black Friday sales as well.
True. Let's have a look. Binary Domain. Nah, no results. That sucks.
Maybe it's not backwards compatible.
Yeah, maybe not. If that's the case, I'll get the PS3 version. Because, like, yeah, it's got, like, I remember having some quite cool features where, like, you could, like, if you wore a headset while you're playing it, you could talk to your team.
Nice.
Or, like, issue them commands and stuff. Or, like, if they were, like, unsure of stuff, you could, like, reassure them and they'd have, like, a trust meter. And they would, like, perform better if they trusted you, sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm sure I played a bit of it on the 360. I'm sure I have. I think I've got it on Steam as well. Not sure. I'll have to check at some point.
Yeah, it just looked like Gears, but like the enemies were all just robots, to be honest. Like big fuck-off robots.
I'll have to have a look.
Because Gears clones normally aren't that good. I mean, I tried that Quantum Theory years ago. It's by Ninja Theory, not Ninja Theory, Team Ninja. The guys who made like Ninja Gaiden and Dead or Alive and all that, and games with big titties.
Yeah.
And it's just shit. It's just a really shit Gears of War clone. Like, why was it released?
I don't know.
Like, it's not even a fun one.
I remember playing a game back in the day that I thought was going to just be like a shitty Resi 4 kind of like action game. And I ended up really enjoying it. I can't remember what it's called. I think it was like Dark Sector or something.
Dark Sector. I was going to say, is it Dark Sector? I've played a bit of Dark Sector. That's a really good game.
Yeah, it was Dark Sector.
I think my brother's got that. I think my brother got the PS3 version in like Kex for like 50 pence or something.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying it in the end. And I think I played it.
I didn't play much of it.
I really ended up enjoying it. I played it online as well with my brother-in-law, because at the time I was like, oh, I'm going to earn some achievements and stuff, and we had to do stuff online to do it. But I think my whole I'm going to 100 achievements thing lasted all of about a week, and then I was like, I can't be arsed for this shit.
I used to work with a guy who was like a massive achievement hunter, and like on the kind of scale of More Heat Than Light, really, like probably maybe even worse, to be honest. Where he would just like, because it was at the time when Love Film used to do like game rentals.
Yeah.
He would, before Boomerang came along, I believe.
Yeah.
And he would just rent loads of stuff off Love Film. Just like the shittest game. He would literally play anything. Just like rinse it for achievements over a weekend, send it back and get something else.
Yeah, I actually, my brother-in-law rented Avatar, you know, and that game is ridiculously easy to get all 1,000G by like doing a combo, Avatar, yeah, The Last Airbender.
That's the one you just press X, isn't it?
Yeah, you press X and just hit a couple of enemies.
Wow. First.
And, well, he rented that from Love Film, so I said, oh, as you've got it, you may as well just fucking bring it down my house when you pop in and I'll have a go. So I got that 1,000G quite easily.
Yeah, that's when I go through like trophy phases, achievement phases, that's the kind of game I would probably play, just something that can rinse for like 20 minutes to get like to get all the trophies in it. Like, I've got some ridiculous stuff, like this game called Slide on the PS4, where it's just a sliding puzzle game.
Alright.
And it takes about like 5 minutes or something to get like the platinum trophy, and all you got to do is just complete one puzzle on the highest difficulty. And
right.
the layout is always the same, so there's just a guide to it that's like right, up, down, left, left, right, blah blah blah. Just follow that pattern, then boom, there's a platinum trophy.
Shit, that's awful, but also awesome. Right, we've been going for 45 minutes. Would you like to talk about Nobody Saves the World? We'll move on to the next section, which is We Play Together, and there's a game that we both played, which is Nobody Saves the World. I may have played it more than you. I don't actually know. I have unlocked most of the transformations. I think there's like three I haven't unlocked.
Cool. I know I need a better horse, that much I do know.
Yeah, I think I need a better horse as well. But I've unlocked a part. I played it the other day and I unlocked... I collected some gems or something for some woman to have, a witch. And then there's like, oh, this item is yours. And they give me an item. And it's unlocked more quests for different forms. And it's like, use this ability with the slug. To get,
oh, is that when you get like the option to have like cross powers?
Yeah, it's more quests again.
That was quite cool. You can sort of start equipping the powers from other forms.
Yeah,
like in different forms. Yeah, because that would unlock loads of quests. Whatever, like, oh, because you combine the powers together. That was quite cool.
Yeah, most of the ones I combine is some various different attacks depending on what the quest require. But I tend to always have one of the zombies' abilities, which is gain health back from damage you do. I just stick that on most things because I'm a bastard. Just makes it easier, doesn't it? But I have to say, it's a fun game. It just seems like it's going to be a lot longer than I anticipated. Because when we originally was going to talk about it, it was like a couple of months back. And we looked at the game and it was supposed to take like 12 hours to finish. And I probably put in that much time. And I don't think I'm anywhere near the end.
how do you tell how much time you put into games on an Xbox? Tell you.
You can look. Yeah, I can't remember exactly where. I think you've got to go to like the game and there's like information and stuff. I'll have to have a look because you can definitely do it.
A lot of my time with it was spent grinding, like just for quests.
Yeah,
kill so many people by running over them with the horse or something.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, because you've got to keep unlocking like new abilities and new forms.
Yeah. And the last three forms, like two of them look like they connect to certain parts, and they look like you need A's for. Or a ranking on your character, and then the very top one I think needs S, but it also looks like the egg needs to be an S as well, so I think you need to find the five chickens or whatever the fuck.
Oh yeah, because you've got to put the egg into a nest to level it up, don't you?
Yeah.
I think I only found like two of those nests.
I think I found two as well. So it looks like it's going to be a pain in the ass to get the last bloody thing, but there's also two I noticed on the when I played it the other day. There's another path now that goes to the side with two other forms, which is part of the DLC. And I was tempted to get the DLC the other day because it was like £3. And I was like, nah, because I don't own the game. If I owned the game, I'd have grabbed it.
And I keep like finding like little side dungeons, but then just looking at the recommended level, I'm like, shit. Because like, the recommended level will be like double my level.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus, how am I meant to do that? I like the art style in it. I will say that.
Yeah.
It's a fun looking game. Is it by the guys who do Guacamelee?
Drinkbox. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah,
I'm
sure it's
Drinkbox. I'm actually firing it up now, just trying to see if it tells me how long my save file is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Drinkbox who make it.
11 hours 15. I put into it.
But Drinkbox, I've played Guacamelee. And I really like that. I haven't played the second one, which I should get around to, but they seem to be good at making games, because this seems really good as well.
Yeah, I played the first Guacamelee. I think it was on PS Plus when I played it. I love how it's got like loads of like, references to other stuff in it, like there's like posters advertising like weird sort of Mexican Mario Brothers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. That's in like the town area in it, like one of the first. But I need to get to the second one. I did buy it. I do own it. I think I got it on Steam. I played. I didn't play my PSP a lot, like I played through Chains of Olympus, but Guacamelee, I mainly played on the PSP because you could play it on either the PS3 or the PSP because it had like a cross save kind of thing.
Oh, really? That's cool.
I played it mainly on the PSP and sometimes on the PS3. So that was cool.
Nice.
But they seem to have done well with Nobody Saves the World as well. It just seems like it's going to be a bit more of a grind than Guacamelee. Because it seems to take a lot to level up your stuff. But like I was saying to you before when I was talking to you about it, the good thing is you can enter a screen, kill a load of enemies, and then either die... and then end up in a checkpoint and then work your way back there. Or you can just leave the screen and come back and just keep going through the same few screens just to quickly build up the stats. But it doesn't seem to take too long if you do things like that. All the different forms are actually quite fun.
I didn't realize Drinkbox also made those Tales from Space games. They're pretty fun as well.
Tales from Space?
Yeah, they're like side-scrolling platformers on I think one's on the PS3 exclusive, the first one, Tales from Space About a Blob, and then the sequel is like multi-format. It's like they're a bit like Loco Roco.
Oh, nice.
You play like a little, like a tiny little alien blob, and you start eating things, and you get bigger.
Sounds fun.
The closest comparison I would make is probably Loco Roco.
I'll have to have a look at that. Was it ever on a PS Plus?
I think one of them was.
Yeah, that'd be worth checking. Well,
the one I've played was on PS Plus.
I've still got my PS3 set up, so, you know. Maybe I'll have a look.
They're pretty fun games. Like, you've got to, like... But annoyingly, kind of like... Have you played Tembo the Badass Elephant?
A little bit, yes.
You've kind of got to do everything in every level to really get very far in it. Like, you've got to, like, find all the stuff to eat kind of thing. Where the Tembo's a bit like that, where it's actually, I think, or not the final set of levels in Tembo, you've got to, like, do everything in every normal level.
Ah, right. Isn't Tembo made by Game Freak?
It is, yeah. It's made by Game Freak and published by Sega.
Weird, isn't it? Considering, like, 90% of the time, whenever you're a Game Freak, the only thing you think about is Pokemon.
Yeah, well, because Nintendo don't actually own them. I think they part own them.
Yeah.
But not 100%, so they can kind of just do their own thing when they want to.
Yeah, but they can barely be asked from the sounds of shit to make the Pokemon games proper, so... I haven't played Pokemon Scarlet or Violet, but I've heard the performance on the games is fucking shoddy. I don't know if that's because the Switch is not struggling, but then when I saw an image of people... Like, someone said, oh, the Switch is so weak, you know, because that's why Scarlet and Violet are so shoddy. And then someone, posted an image, that person posted an image of Breath of the Wild and Scarlet, and another image of Breath of the Wild, another image of Scarlet or Violet, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's like someone said, I can understand if it's not great looking, because, you know, they draw on a deadline there, what have you. But they just don't understand how it can be so bad looking and also have such bad performance issues.
And to be fair, Breath of the Wild doesn't run great either.
It doesn't, but if you look at the detail on Breath of the Wild in comparison to...
Yeah.
To,
like, they had to, like, code in something to, like...
Yeah.
To stop a bug, like that whole Blood Moon thing.
Yeah.
That was, like, because the game can't track all the variables, so it has to, like, reset every once in a while.
Yeah, but
all the enemies you killed respawn and stuff.
Yeah, it's a obviously there's some limitations there, and there is. But I can understand why people are frustrated with Game Freak and Pokemon when you know it's so much worse. Like, it's technically worse and visually worse.
Did it just seem like a bit of a lazy developer, to be honest?
Yeah.
Like, they're happy to just keep putting out basically the same game over and over again.
Yeah, they do. But the thing is I do wonder they have to, like, somehow, because it's such a big global phenomenon with all different types of media, and the franchises got, like, toys, anime, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That the game has to, from what I've heard, has to, like, come out at certain times because of the anime and whatever else.
Right,
Now Ash is the, spoiler alert, for those who don't want to hear, is, like, basically the Pokemon Master, because he's the champion of champions. Does that mean they can take their time and do something else with the anime, and the games can then... have more time to develop? Or maybe they need more team, like another team to work on, like, do you know, like, there's COD every year, and they have three, or they used to do this, there was three teams, and they would have them wrote, so they have 3 years to work on one and 3 years to work on another one, and then, but it, so the three teams would have a year, there'd be a game each year, but 3 years between each one from each dev works on there.
Oh yeah, because you used to alternate between, like, it was Infinity Ward and...
Treyarch? And someone else, I think. So maybe they need to do something like that. So then someone's got longer to work on the next one. Yeah,
like an A team and a B team sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, that would probably be a good approach, actually. Have, like, one team working on one game. Maybe, like, a sort of a 3-4 year cycle, maybe. No, 4 years is probably a bit too long. Say a 3 year cycle. Yeah. And then have like somebody, like another team, like basically 1 year into that 3 year cycle, the B team starts work on the kind of the next game.
Hmm. I think that would be best. And if they already do that, then what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, like I've seen some footage of like the new Pokemon online, like on like Twitter and that, and it looks a bit shonky. But when you said, people say the Switch isn't very powerful. I've seen similar posts to that, but that they're posting like footage from like Xenoblade 3. And so people say the Switch isn't very powerful, but here's Xenoblade 3, which apparently looks really fucking good. I've never really seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah. Xenoblade 2 looked really good, as the Xenoblade, but Definitive Edition. But Xenoblade 2 was also a little janky with frame rates and stuff, and I think Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is. But again, the performance is understandable when the game is so vast and well made, and stuff.
The time put into it, because that probably had a much longer development cycle than a Pokemon game.
You think so?
It's just the time put into it, and I think the talent of the team of knowing how to get the most out of the hardware. Because they've got more time to do it, they've got a chance to get up to speed with what the hardware can do and to actually understand the hardware.
Yeah.
To get the most out of it and not release something that's just a little bit shonky.
True, but you got to remember that the team behind Xenoblade 3, I don't know how many like different teams there are, but Xenoblade, there was Xenoblade 2, Xenoblade Definitive Edition, and Xenoblade 3 have all come out on Switch. So they've done three games on there. And this in the same amount of time that three or four Pokemon games have come out. So I don't know. I just don't know. I don't understand it. Maybe they're just rushing.
Maybe Game Freak are just shit. They're just a useless developer. But everyone keeps buying their games anyway because it's Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Pokemon. I've got to buy Pokemon.
Exactly. And I did.
But dude, it's the same shitty game you played last time.
I know.
But it's Pokemon.
Exactly.
It's the same shitty game you've been playing since, like, Generation 1.
Exactly.
That said, I fucking loved Sword.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my time with Sword. I mean, Christ, I put like, I think it was like 100 and over 100 hours into it. Like, it didn't feel like a waste of my time. I really enjoyed playing it.
Yeah, I enjoyed Sword. I preferred Arceus. I actually liked the more, like, I don't like, as you know, I'm not a massive open world fan, but for some reason I like that semi open world aspect of Pokemon creeping around and like
tricking
Pokeball. I actually enjoyed that. It suited the franchise.
Whereas, I thought Arceus looked really good until you were like flying. Like when the camera was zoomed in and you were on foot, everything looked absolutely fine. But then when you were like up in the air on riding a Pokemon and there was loads of pop in, and when you could see like the distance, like the pop in was horrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really showed itself up for that. It was like, oh dude.
Which is actually quite funny because Nobody Saved the World doesn't have any pop in.
No, it doesn't.
Is there anything else you would like to add about Nobody Saves the World?
No, it's a really good game. It's bigger than it seems.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a bit of an investment into playing it.
Yeah, are you going to go back and finish it?
I'm at the point now, I think I'll probably have to start again.
Ah, shit, that sucks, man.
Because I can't remember what the fuck I'm up to.
Damn. That's fair enough.
I always have little games. I get so far through them, and I'm like, what was I doing? I need to focus on stuff, like, and not just flit from one game to the other.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I'll do it. I'll play again for a while. What was I doing again?
Yeah. I do that a lot myself. This year, I've specifically tried to stick with more games because I'm like, I'm spending money and whatever else. I need to just play more of them. So I'm going to try and do the same next year, but whether I do that or not is up in the air. Before we go, would you like to plug anything, like your Twitch channel or?
Nah, I'm good. People know where to find me. Cumberdens on Twitch, Cumberdens on Twitter.
There you go, then.
Combadane's on Xbox, Combadane's on PS4. Probably even Combadane's on the Switch.
It's not. Even if you are Combadane's on the Switch, it's going to be a 12-digit friends code. To use. I can't believe they added friends code again.
Bloody Nintendo.
Yeah.
Just get with the program.
You know. I think that's going to be us then. We've been going for just over an hour. And I would like to thank you for taking part. The next episode after this will be recorded in about 2 weeks. I don't know who's taking part. I haven't asked again. But this will be out very, very soon. Hopefully everyone will enjoy. And I will see you again soon. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome to the 11th, welcome to, I'll start again.